Today's readings present some pretty tough challenges. The Israelites were called to make a choice. Decide today if they want to serve the Lord or turn back to the pagan gods. And Jesus presents his apostles with a similar question, as many of his disciples had turned away from him because of his difficult teaching. He asked them, "Do you also want to leave?" Now, Christian life is full of tough choices, difficult teachings, some hard to understand, and some just hard to follow. And our second reading from Ephesians today is a great example. How many of you on your wedding day had this passage read at the wedding? Wives should be subordinate to their husbands as to the Lord. How many had the passage from 1 Corinthians? Love is patient, love is kind. I don't remember. It was 45 years ago, and I can hardly remember what I had for dinner last night. But I'm willing to bet that about 50 years or so ago, there would have been a lot more weddings who would have used that passage from Ephesians. So has the sexual revolution, women's liberation, and even the legalization of same-sex marriage led us closer to the truth about God's plan for marriage? Or have we just abandoned a hard teaching and gone our own way? Now, if nearly half of our marriages fail, and some that do survive can hardly be seen as an image of Christ's love for his church, how's that working out so far? So what are we missing in our understanding of real marriage? I think too often we stumble on what it means to be subordinate to each other. Luckily for the guys, their brides often don't want to be told to submit to them, so they don't have to worry about the rest of the passage, which is a much greater challenge to them as husbands. To love their wife as their own body, handing themselves over for her, as Christ does for us. In fact, in this passage, St. Paul was challenging the cultural norm of men being superior and dominating their wives as mere possessions. And like Jesus often did, he first acknowledges the status quo. The husband is head of his wife. But then he goes beyond into a deeper reality. The husband is also to be subordinate to his wife, but in a different way. So marriage is not just a cultural institution, but a sacred one, going back to creation. For this reason, a man shall leave his mother and father and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Neither one greater or less than the other, but joined as one, complementing each other through their unique gifts and roles as male and female. Pope St. John Paul II makes it even clearer in his teaching on human sexuality, called the Theology of the Body. He goes back to in the beginning, when God created us as male and female, in his image. It was not good for them to be alone, but they were intended to join together so intimately that their married relationship becomes a reflection of God's own relationship in the Trinity. Separate, distinct persons, but one in being. Each with their own role, but equal in their shared nature as one God. A relationship so totally giving, it brings forth new life. So what does all that mean for us as husbands and wives? We are called to be subordinate to each other. Wives submitting to the authority of their husbands, and husbands submitting to the wisdom and grace and needs of their wives. Now, the words subordinate and submit come from the root sub, which means below. So in submitting to her husband, a wife must lift him up, supporting him in his role as spiritual head of the family. Without that support, he'll fail. And if a wife does not allow herself to be subordinate to her husband, he can't be successful in nourishing and cherishing her and helping her to be holy and without blemish. But in fact, we men have to earn the right to be called husbands by loving so unselfishly that we're helping our wives to attain holiness. The wholeness of what God created her to be is to be our first focus, not our own need. Now, isn't that what we really want in marriage? Not what we want to do, but how we want to feel? Don't husbands want to be respected and supported? And wives want to be nourished and cherished? But any man who interprets this scripture as license to dominate his wife for his own needs and gratification has not fulfilled his role as a husband, and he cannot expect his wife to submit to the authority he has abused. Now, for Carolyn and I, some of our greatest arguments and deep struggles have come when I failed to seek her input or consider her needs when making an important decision that impacted us both. I've come to learn, sometimes painfully, that Carolyn supports me in my role as husband when she listens, critiques, and shares her different feminine perspective. Often loving my wife as my own body, nourishing and cherishing her, means submitting my ideas to her deeper wisdom and following her advice. But when I become so self-centered or so defensive of my position or trying to justify my poor behavior that I don't see the pain I'm causing her, at those times I am failing to subordinate my needs to hers, and I'm failing in my role as a husband. God created each of us as man or woman from the same substance. Adam recognized Eve as bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, but different, specifically designed to complement each other physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And that's why true marriage, as created by God, is not merely a legal union between two consenting adults of either sex. Only a man and a woman can be joined to each other and become one flesh. Same-sex marriage is an oxymoron. People who find themselves attracted to the same sex are just as wonderful, just as cherished by God as his beloved creation. But their struggles to live out their lives chastely are different from those who are heterosexual. It's God's plan that man and woman live marriage in this mutually submitting way so that our lives become a parable, a story with a deeper meaning. Our married lives point to the love and unity of God's own nature as persons in perfect relationship, bringing forth new life. And that is why our marriages are called a sacrament, a living sign of God's presence in our world. Now, I'm sure few of us understood this calling when we first chose to be married. Carolyn and I certainly didn't. And embracing it now might seem to be an enormous challenge. To acknowledge that my marriage is not just for me, it is for my spouse, for Christ, for his church, and for the world. Yes, we're imperfect, we fail, and we need to forgive and seek forgiveness constantly as we try to live out this vitally important role that God has given us as married couples. But if I ask myself why our society, our government, our Supreme Court think that marriage can be just the same between persons of the same sex as between a man and a woman, when I ponder that, I have to wonder, is the way I am living my marriage part of that problem or part of the solution to this confusion? So, husbands and wives, are you willing to dive deeply into this mystery of married love and try to live it more fully, to submit yourselves to each other as to the Lord? Or is this too difficult to teach it? Like the Israelites and the apostles, each of us is given the challenge. Decide today whom you will serve. For me and my household, we will serve the Lord.